This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Everything Blue Jays. Everything baseball. Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Thank God Kevin Barker's back. I was getting tired of doing this on my own. Well, I just did it once. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker.
How you doing?
Doing well. Welcome back, Mr. Barker. Undefeated. Undefeated. In three games as Jerry Howarth's winger.
Jerry's awesome.
It was fun. It was good.
I appreciate it. I was just trying to be myself, and Jerry basically took over the show, and I just sort of followed the lead. And it helps that the Blue Jays were really good for those 3 days. So that helped.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a lot easier to do that when the team is playing well. Although you've also got to fill when it gets to be 15-4.
Yeah, that Saturday you gotta game.
You got to start pulling some stats out when that happens. Do a little saber.
But
metrics.
I will say this, Jerry is very good at the stat thing. So we were a little bit of a mix of everything because the Blue Jays were. You know, they didn't play half bad if you watch those three games. And
not yeah. half bad.
Well, you
they
know.
They were pretty good.
Are they that good?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know how good these guys can be. I really don't.
Well, I think.
And I mean that I mean that in a positive sense. And we talked about this a bit yesterday, and I think the thing that really kind of settled in for me watching them play the Angels was just how much better they are defensively. The Angels are a team that I'm kind of used to using as a gold standard in some ways for defense. But I made the point yesterday in this show in primetime that the Jays out-angeled the Angels. I mean, they were the ones making all the good plays. They were the ones making the clutch defensive plays. I mean, Troy Tulowitzki, I think, just reinforced the difference that having a, and I'm not going to turn this into bashing Jose Reyes, but Kevin, the difference that a composed, aware infielder can make on an entire team.
Well, that's a very good word. But again, he was up, the Blue Jays were up 15-3. He's diving for a ball mm-hmm. in the ninth inning, trying to keep a ball in the infield to save runs. If you're a pitching staff, you have to love guys like that. It starts with pitching. It ends with defense, and you get a timely hit here and there. You're seeing on the TV there, Smoke, we're making a great play. This is the play you're talking about, awareness. If you can't see it, we're talking about the
David
holding.
David Murphy, the slide.
Exactly. We're talking about that. And then you see Chris Colabello making plays. It's contagious. I think that's what it was. It's one guy making a lot of plays, knowing how to play the game the right way. It starts with Josh Donaldson. It ends with Troy Tulowitzki, and then everybody else is falling in line. It's scary. I think that's the one word. It's scary. We're seeing, I saw a lot of approaches, and I talked about this, the approaches on the on-deck circle, taking that to the plate, how hard that is to physically do, and 1 through 9 is doing it. It starts, again, with pitching staff. You saw David Price basically dominating. He's a freak. I think that's the, you know, you can sit here and try to make up words and figure ways out to describe David Price. To me, he's a freak. He does things on the mound to make everybody better. And there's a handful of those people. You could count them on one hand that can one guy make that big of a difference? And the answer to that is yes, because we see that with David Price, just the things he brings and saving bullpens and making it easier for a offensive side of the ball, makes it easier for defenses because, you know, those balls are basically being hit right to infielders and outfielders, and it's because of the way he pitches. And seeing the Mike Trout-David Price matchup, you know, it's sort of like, you're a pretty good player on the offensive side and the defensive side, but I'm a pretty good pitcher too. And you know, that's it brings out the best in everybody. And I think we're seeing that. And to answer your question, I think this team is really that good. I think we've not seen the top of this team. I think there's still ways they can get better.
I agree with that. We haven't, there, there are, there's still some, I mean, as good as they've played, there's still, I think, and I don't know why I necessarily have this feeling, but my sense is that Jose Bautista is going to go off in September. You know, he's had a great year. Batting averages, and I don't think what Jose would like. I don't think what a lot of us would like. I just have the feeling that with all the talk about Josh Donaldson, and I'm not trying to mitigate his impact, but with all the talk about Donaldson and Price, I think Jose Bautista in September is just going to go off, and just keep an eye on him. Keep an eye on him offensively, because I think he's got that month in him where he's just going to be ungodly hot. And as we speak today, the Jays had yesterday off. They will start a 3-game series against the Texas Rangers tonight at 8:05. You can catch the game on all the Sportsnet regional channels. It'll also be on Sportsnet 590. The Fans, 7:30, we'll have our Blue Jays pregame show on Sportsnet. And Mike Wilner will have an hour-long pregame show starting at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Mark Burley takes the hill against Derek Holland. Derek Holland making his third start of the season, his third start since coming off the DL. He's 1-1 with an ERA of 3.68. Derek Holland's return is one of the reasons that the Texas Rangers are almost stride for stride with the Blue Jays right now in terms of being one of the hottest teams in baseball. This is going to be a very tough 3-game series. You got David Price going against Colby Lewis on Wednesday, Thursday, and this is a 2:05 p.m. afternoon start. Take note of that, 2:05 p.m. It'll be Marco Estrada on the mound against Giovanni Gallardo for the Texas Rangers. So this, and then the Jays come back for a 3-game series against the Texas Rangers. So this is going to be a very good test. The New York Yankees were busy last night. They won 1-0 on a walk-off sacrifice fly. Therefore, the Yankees and the Blue Jays are tied at 69-55. The Yankees no longer have any games in hand over the Blue Jays. It was a tough way for the Houston Astros to lose a game. Oliver Perez just completely lost the strike zone, and Carlos Beltran came up and cashed in with the sacrifice fly. So, the Jays and Yankees 69-55. The Baltimore Orioles, 7 games back of both teams. The Orioles have kind of started to tread water lately. They've lost, actually not, they haven't been treading water. They've lost 5 in a row. They're actually back with the Tampa Bay Rays, 7 games back. So it's Jays and Yankees right now. That is the focus. We will be joined, by the way, on Baseball Central by Aaron Sanchez of the Blue Jays at 12:35 ahead of today's series against the Texas Rangers. Wanted to ask you, Kevin, about the impact Troy Tulowitzki's had on this team defensively. Much concern, of course, about Troy Tulowitzki's offense. I think misplaced concern, given the fact that the team is winning and given the fact that Troy Tulowitzki's track record, I think, speaks for itself. But I think we saw in this series, didn't we? And Jerry talked about it. I know you guys talked about it on the broadcast. The guys on the TV side talked about it. Buck talked about it again yesterday on Primetime Sports. The impact Troy Tulowitzki's had on that team defensively. He is just... Ryan Goins is a plus defender. Justin Smoke is a plus defender. Justin Smoke's defense is really, really underrated. And, of course, you've got Josh Donaldson at third base. But Tulowitzki just seems to have settled everything down, infield and even the outfield. Ben Revere, obviously, his addition has helped. But you watch this team, Kevin, on the field, and Ari Dickey used a great line the other day about their game clock. And how they've, the infield defense in particular, their understanding of game situations, what, you know, what the situation is, how many outs there are, who's at the plate, who's on base, what do I have to do? He talked about that having increased exponentially, largely because of Troy Tulowitzki. And well, I know you're big about the shortstop being the quarterback of the infield defense.
I was just about to say that he is the quarterback, but we had Marco Estrada on this show, and he was saying how much easier it is to pound the strike zone, to know that, you know, you have a great defense behind you. We don't have to be so fine now. As
well, 2 strikes,
staff,
you don't have to go for the strike.
You can go right after it. You talk about efficiency, getting guys out within 4 pitches. We're starting to see a lot of that because of the defense. It's, you know, it's no coincidence that this team throws a lot of strikes, doesn't walk a lot of guys. Their defense is on their toes a lot because of that reason, because the pitching staff is pounding the strike zone. Guys make the routine play. They don't, you know, bobble to give that up, that easy runner at first base. And you just mentioned the quarterback of the team, Troy Tulowitzki, and the offensive side. He, you know, he's a presence. I think mm-hmm. that more than anything, those couple of guys on the bottom end of that lineup get on base, he's a presence. It's another guy for a pitching staff to have to worry about, regardless of whether he's hitting or not. You still have to make good pitches to him. And then all of a sudden you're looking on the on-deck circle and you see Donaldson waving at you saying, yeah, I'm still here. I'm here. Over here standing on deck. So it's just a never-ending thing because of Troy being in that lineup and what he brings defensively and the attitude. You know, we see him, well, I saw him in Anaheim early taking ground balls. You know, I didn't see him early hitting because of the cage is hidden, but you see him taking defense early. That's a huge part of his game because, you know, you can always play defense. You're not always going to hit, but you can always play defense.
Well, he likes to go out, especially when it's the first game on a new at a new stadium. I don't want to say new stadium. He may mm-hmm. have played there before. But the first game of a series, he likes to go out early and get a read on the ball, how it's bouncing off the, you know, the grass, how the infield, the dirt is. I mean, he likes to get acclimated. And I really think that one of the things we've seen with Troy Tulowitzki is he really is kind of a creature of habits, probably not the right way to put it, but he is a guy who needs to develop a comfort zone, and he takes that very seriously.
Well, it's a little things. We saw Sunday a little pop-up went between him and right. Ben Revere, and he veers off because mm-hmm. it's one of those plays he can't make. Well, you say, well, why'd he veer off? Because you can't make the play. You're going to live to fight another day. You don't want two guys running into each other. Those are little things that the quarterback of your team knows the situation on the field, knows what's going on, and you know, the Blue Jays haven't seen this. Fans of the Blue Jays haven't seen a guy like this. You know, you can argue all the offensive things you want, but, man, it's like, I'll say this, it's so comforting when a ball's hit on the ground, you're out. And when's the last time we could say that, Jeff? It's been yeah. a very long time, and now the Blue Jays have that. It's just, it's a breath of fresh air to watch it, to call it, to play on that field, I'm sure, with all the guys that are basically going to make every play. That's, man, it's easy. That's what I can say, it's easy.
That defensive awareness is going to be put to the test against the Texas Rangers. Here are some numbers about the Texas Rangers, who have a game and a half lead in the American League, the second wild card. They are second in the American League behind the Kansas City Royals in taking extra bases. They put a lot of pressure on teams. They're an aggressive base running team. As I said, they have the second highest rate of taking the extra base on a single or a double. Yes, they do lead the league in getting picked off with 12. but they put a lot of pressure on teams with their speed. They're fourth in the American League in runs scored. This is going into yesterday, despite being sixth in batting average, seventh in on-base and slugging percentage. Seventh in home runs and extra base hits. They put pressure on you. They're an aggressive base running team. They like to force the defense into making decisions. And it's interesting, Jeff Banister, their manager, this is a quote from him. It's the ability to go from home to second, first to third, take an extra base in a bobble, run to first and beat out an infield throw, not allow the opposing team to turn a double play, to bunt and beat it out. And this is what he's talking about speed. He's not talking necessarily about stolen bases. This is a great quote from Jeff Banister, who, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was an infielder himself. I could be wrong. This is a great quote. Defenders don't like playing with urgency. It's mm-hmm. putting pressure on defense when you have speed, forcing defenders to play with urgency. The Rangers lead the league with 34 bunt hits. That's 14 more than the next team. They've also grounded into the fewest double plays. They're tied with the Astros. They're third with the Twins for having reached base on the most defensive errors. So what I'm saying is this is a team. Prince Fielder hasn't been hitting the ball well lately. Delino DeShields Jr., who was kind of a surprise guy for them at the leadoff spot, he's cooled off. But they have, I'm sorry, not at the leadoff spot. He is a replacement in center field. They've had some injury issues. He's given them pretty good offense. But this is a team that has won lately because they put pressure in the other team's defense. This mm-hmm. is going to be a real test for the Blue Jays.
Well, it is. But to further those stats, you know, they hit a lot of home runs off of left-handers.
Bannister was a catcher and first baseman. Thank you, Travis. All right.
They've got 50 home runs off of lefties. They have the most at-bats against left-handers with mm-hmm. 15 or 12 in MLB, but they're 26th in pitching and they're 29th in fielding. So the flip side of that is the Blue Jays can pull a lot of pressure. They've made 91 errors this year, which is, I think, second most in major leagues. That's, again, we just saw Anaheim. We came from Anaheim. You mentioned it early on. The Blue Jays, I will say, they did a lot of things besides hitting the home run, which, you know, the three-run homer is awesome and whatever. But they hit a lot of doubles. They hit a lot of singles. They hit some triples. That puts pressure, back to your point, on a bad defense. And the Angels weren't playing a lot of good defense. And, mm-hmm. and I was in a taxi. Mike Socia, you know, people are calling in saying, fire Mike Socia. Well, you know, that's funny. I sort of smirked at that a little bit because that sounded like John Gibbons 3 or 4 months ago because right. of the defensive side of the ball. And now the flip side of it is, you mentioned, pitching and defense are huge deals, especially in August and September. And this is going to be a nice series. This is going to be a series to me. These are series that the Blue Jays win. On paper, the way they're playing, I get it. The Texas Rangers are playing well, but it's time now for the Toronto Blue Jays to say we are the best team or one of the best teams in baseball, and now we're going to start showing it. And
well, they've kind of stuck a fork in Anaheim, and you could do that here with Texas as well. 100%. Stick a fork in so far as the difference between you and
give
the Rangers.
Give you credit. You said the Angels were basically done, and you know, you saw their starters going 3 or 4 innings. That kills bullpens. Gets back to a David Price kind of guy. He pitched the first game there, saved the Blue Jays' bullpen. They could use whatever they wanted to mm-hmm. when R.A. Dickey was pitching because of David Price. The Angels don't have that. That's one of those things that takes a team to a different level. And again, I'm going to say this again. I said 6-2, 7-1 for the road trip. I'm going to say 7-1. I think it's time. For the Blue Jays, I saw games, the approaches, the way they attack guys. I saw R.A. Dickey quick pitching the knuckleball because he couldn't throw it where he wanted to, and he was doing anything he could to get a guy out. That's, to me, that's taking the game to another level.
We spoke to Pete Walker yesterday, and Pete made the point about we need to, I think, we being those of us in the media, those of us who follow the Blue Jays fans, whatever you. I think we need to start giving R.A. Dickey a little more credit for being a pitcher and not just a guy with kind of a freak trick pitch.
I saw him. He gave up the 5 runs in the first inning, and after that, he still struggled. He was giving up some hits. He had some big double plays turned against him, but he was doing little things. And I mentioned that when I was with Jerry, that he quick pitched. I've never seen a knuckleball guy quick pitch a guy because mm-hmm. he just doesn't. Obviously, it seemed like he didn't know the last couple of starts. He didn't know where the knuckleball was going. It wasn't moving the way he wanted it to. So he was inventing ways to get guys out, and that's quick pitch, slow guys down, do whatever it takes to get that offense back in the dugout. And man, it was, you know, it gets down to being a fan. It's fun to watch. It's fun to see guys do whatever it takes, no matter what, to win the game. And that's what it gets back to here. Facing the Rangers, they're doing okay. They're 8-10 in their last 10 games. They're 8-2. So what?
Yeah, I misspoke, by the way. Derek Holland is making his second start since returning from a strained muscle in his left shoulder. He gave up 2 runs over 6 1/3 innings in his first outing against the Mariners. Mark Burley, who starts tonight for Toronto, probably, I don't know if that last start was his worst. He gave up 4 runs and 7 hits, 4 innings. But it was the first time since May 1st, this against Philadelphia, it was the first time since May 1st that he didn't go at least 5 innings. And it also marked the first time he surrendered more than 3 earned runs since May 29th. So I think it's safe to say that Mark Burley's coming off his least impressive start since the end of May. We'll say since the end of May, he's coming off mm-hmm. that. What do you expect to see from Mark Burley tonight, Kevin? And I guess it's natural that every time or any time this happens with Mark Burley, people are going to start wondering, all right, are all the innings starting to to pile up on him. I don't know why one night in Philadelphia all of a sudden would be the end of his career or anything like that. But what does Mark Burley have to do tonight against Texas, against that aggressive Texas Rangers team?
I think you just said it. He needs to use that aggressiveness to his advantage.
Use it against them.
100%, meaning you may pitch backwards if Mark Burley can do that, because basically Mark doesn't have a fastball. That's why he's so good, because he uses, quote-unquote, the fastball to pitch to both sides of the plate, but he'll get you looking away, keep inching off the plate. I think he has to do that. And again, it gets back to that lefties for the Texas Rangers to hit 50 home runs off of lefties. That team has hit 50. So you have to keep it in the yard. How do you do that? Keep it down. Throw the ball down. When in doubt, stay down. And if you pitch up with movement. I expect Mark Burley to do that. I talked to Pete Walker about Mark a little bit, and he said he looked a little tired. He looked like when you're starting to try and speed up your arm to do things, maybe throw a little harder. And we use that jokingly with Mark Burley, throwing hard kind of thing. But when you see him throwing 86, 87, that means he's not very good. You want him sitting at that 83, 84, because that's where he pitches.
Right.
He's a pitcher then. When he throws 86, 87, he's trying to speed it up and throw harder. That's never a good thing, because he throws that up, and when it's up, it's flat, and it's basically real easy to hit. So I see tonight he's a gamer. He's going to make adjustments, just like Ari Dickey did. I mentioned the quick pitch, and it was funny when I saw it, but you expect older guys that's been around and know how to pitch through things like that. It's August. They're in a pennant race. Everything needs to work in the right direction, and they know the situation. They know the offense is red, smoking hot, and all you have to do is keep them in the same area code. You do that, you got to have a chance to win. And I see that happening tonight with Mark Burley because of the age factor and the experience, and he knows how to do it.
And there really is a sense that we're seeing a lot of players rise to the occasion here. You know, you talked about Ari Dickey quick pitching. This is a team that I believe in the series against Anaheim, I could be wrong, walked two batters. There's an aggressiveness about this staff. You know, and I'm going to remember this inning. And it's going to strike people as being a little odd, but I'm going to remember this inning, the first inning of Drew Hutchison's last start, where he has a runner on first base, and he quick pitches, and Russ Martin throws out the runner, and I'm drawing a blank right now on who the runner was. Russ Martin throws out the runner. I'm sorry, it was the Yankees. It was Jacoby Ellsbury in the Sunday afternoon. Russ Martin throws out the runner. You're starting to see things like this in games. You're starting to see guys make significant in-game adjustments, strategic adjustments. You're starting to see guys rise to the occasion. And you really do get the sense, Kevin, that there is, I don't know if it happened at the trade deadline. I think probably it did a little bit after the trade deadline. I get the sense that a lot of guys who are here in this organization have suddenly, it suddenly occurred to them, okay, this is real now. This is a good team. This is a team that could be the best team in the American League. I mean, Kansas City's really good. We're not overlooking Kansas City. Right. But this is a team that could probably expect to beat Kansas City in a seven-game series right now. So I think you're starting to see some of these guys. And it's going to be fascinating to see players that we have kind of gotten to know. Guys like Batista, guys like Encarnacion, guys like Hutchison to a certain degree, guys who have been here when this team, let's face it, has just kind of been an afterthought in the postseason. It will be interesting to see how they adapt and how they rise to the occasion now that it's real.
It's funny that you mentioned those Batista, Encarnacion, Donaldson all went to right field in that series against the Angels, which is weird to me because they're pull hitters, but they were doing whatever it took to win games. It doesn't matter about numbers anymore. It gets back to it sort of gets back to R.A. Dickey saying, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, what your record is. When you're 6-10, it's real easy to go out there and think a lot about what you want to do and just, you know, worry so much about how many hits you're giving up or how many runs. It's not that way anymore. And you can see it on the field because of the actions. It's the way you go about making adjustments, doing whatever it takes to win the game. And, you know, again, it's a breath of fresh air because we haven't seen this in a long time. When I played here, I never saw it. And since I've been covering this team until the last couple of months, until they've made those changes to the defensive side of the ball, it's working the way it should work, and it's fun. That's all I can say. It's fun.
We're going to be joined by Aaron Sanchez of the Blue Jays at 12:30. So I want to take a quick look around Major League Baseball. Some items yesterday of interest to Blue Jays fans. CeCe Sabathia of the Yankees has gone on the DL with knee inflammation. Kendall Graveman, the pitcher that went to the Oakland Athletics as part of the Josh Donaldson deal, he's on the DL with a strained oblique. Marcus Stroman threw a 55-pitch sim game in Florida. He will throw another sim game, and then he will go to AAA Buffalo, where he has said, Marcus Stroman has said, he expects to get a start in the second and on the seventh. And there's been a lot of talk about Marcus Stroman in this city. And let's just keep this in mind. Just because the Blue Jays are stretching him out as a starter doesn't necessarily mean he's going to come back in here and fit right into the rotation. Now, he could. He could very well, and what a pleasant addition that would be to the Blue Jays in September. But people are automatically assuming that because he's being stretched out, that automatically means he's getting a spot in the rotation. And again, just to caution you, you have to stretch Marcus Stroman out. It makes no sense to tell Marcus Stroman, we're rehabbing you, but we only want you to rehab in the bullpen, for a spot in the bullpen. The best way to rehab a pitcher is to rehab him as a starter. And then it's easy if you get into a situation where he's in the bullpen and perhaps you don't need him in the rotation, then it's easy to say, Marcus, you know what? We're going to use you out of the bullpen. So people are getting really ahead of themselves because of the fact that, A, Marcus Stroman is telling everybody all along that things are going great, which he's going to do.
Sure.
But secondly, because he's being stretched out as a starter. That's how you do it.
Yep.
You have to do it that way. Having said that, with Drew Hutchison scheduled to return and make a start, when is Drew's next? Is Drew's start in the 29th with the Blue Jays? Saturday. All right, with Drew's start on Saturday, I would suggest that Drew Hutchison continue to move in an upward direction. But again, the whole Stroman thing, just so people are clear on this, could be a hell of a weapon for this team. But I think right now you have to wait. I think other factors have to play out before the Jays decide what they're going to do with Mark Stroman. But I'll tell you this, he'll be used. If he can get through those games in Buffalo and have no problem, by problems I'm talking about soreness,
right,
in particular, things of that nature, he will definitely be used by the Blue Jays. And speaking of the Yankees, by the way, I referred to CeCe Sabathia. Dallas Keuchel is on the mound for the Houston Astros tonight against Ivan Nova of the Yankees. And the Astros are talking reportedly a multi-year extension with Dallas Keuchel, as they should be. So if you're a Blue Jays fan, you'll be wanting to keep one eye on that game, one eye on the Jays in Texas. Dallas Keuchel on the mound for the Houston Astros tonight against the Yankees. Yankees and Jays tied as we move into Tuesday night's games. Aaron Sanchez has become a valuable part of the Toronto Blue Jays bullpen. You know the story with Aaron Sanchez, part of the rotation, injured, came back from Buffalo. He is now, I guess, a setup guy for Roberto Osuna. He's also a pitcher that John Gibbons is pretty comfortable with giving a save opportunity. Aaron Sanchez will join us when Baseball Central continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back to Baseball Central. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. We will have Jays baseball tonight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet 8 o'clock. First pitch, Jays and Texas Rangers. From, the hell are they calling it now? Globe Life Park or something like that?
Yeah.
I hate.
Huh?
Oh, they change names all the time. It's like San Francisco's gone through a couple of names. At least the Rogers Center stays a Rogers Center.
If you bought a stadium, you'd want to rename it, too.
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
I would not put my name on it.
You would keep the, if you bought the Rogers Center, you wouldn't change it to, like, the Blair Center.
No.
No?
No. Names of stadiums always sound...
JB Center.
No. Names of stadiums always sound better when the first part of the name has two syllables.
Oh, yeah. I would rename it if I bought a stadium.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that at all.
I disagree with that.
Kevin and I were talking before the break about how one of the strengths of this Blue Jays pitching staff, the staff in general, I would say since the trade deadline, has been the way in which they've cut down on their bases on balls, the way in which they've cut down on their walks. Some people have speculated that one of the reasons for that is because with improved defense, players feel less inclined to have to go for the strikeout. Which makes
a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense. I would have to think that it would have some sort of an impact on a pitcher's mindset. Aaron Sanchez, since he has been back and in the bullpen, has issued one base on balls. He is certainly keeping up his end of the bargain in that particular area. And since that home run allowed to Carlos Beltran, he has worked three innings, given up no hits, struck out two, got five ground ball outs. Aaron Sanchez joins us on Baseball Central. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going well. How's Texas treating you?
Oh, my. Too hot. Too hot.
Yeah, that sounds like Texas. Sounds like Texas in the summer. Hey, Aaron, I want to ask you about, since that home run that you allowed to Carlos Beltran, what did you take away from that experience? Did you use it as a learning experience? And now that we're a little, we're a week or so away, more than a week away from that particular pitch, you kind of reflect on it a bit and learn from it?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a huge learning curve for me. Obviously, like I said, after the game, going into a situation where the crowd was super into it in a close game, after, Price did his thing, it's just about understanding and calming your nerves in a situation like that. I think that's what, it came down to. Obviously, I came out that inning, like I said, wanting to get the ball on the ground in that particular situation with the crowd and the fans the way they were. I got a little excited. Ball was up. I kind of saw something. He swung through a fastball up, and I tried to stay up the whole entire bat. And when that last pitch just didn't get up high enough and went over the thing, it's just one of those things you learn from, you move on. You got to have short memory in this game, or it's going to kill you. So it was what it was. I sat down, I talked about it, I moved on, and now we're here.
This staff as a whole has really cut down on its base on balls. What's the reason for that? Some have speculated that with the addition of Troy Tulowitzki, and now that you've kind of settled on Ryan Goins at second and Justin Smoke at first base, it's such a good defensive infield, and with Ben Revere in left field covering so much ground, there's less of an inclination on the part of the pitchers to think that you have to strike somebody out. I don't know if pitchers actually think that way, but has that made any sort of a difference from where you are?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that could be part of the reason why. I mean, early on, I think a lot of the guys, were still trying to figure out their deliveries, work out all the clinks. I mean, now you're 4 months in. I think you got a pretty good idea of, hitters know where their swings are, pitchers know where their deliveries are. You're finally in that comfort zone where you're feeling good. You're not going through the period where your arm or your body's kind of beat up. It's just where it is now, and I think that has to do a little bit with it too.
Aaron, being a younger guy, 23 years old, going from a starter to a reliever, basically now we're watching you on occasion. You'll flip a secondary pitch for a show pitch, but it's mainly a sinker. Has that been the biggest adjustment, going from a starter to a reliever? Just mentality, I'm going to come out and just throw my best pitch, letting it eat for however long I'm in there and go with that. Has that been the one, I'd say, easier? Because it looks to me, when you run on the field, it's just an easy kind of, here it is, see if you can hit it mentality.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're coming out of the bullpen, especially late in the game, you're just trying to get outs as fast as you can, get our guys back in the dugout. So for me, that being my pitch a sinker, I'm not afraid to let guys, put the ball in play. Obviously, you got to locate a fastball down the zone, for that to happen. But I'm just coming out and get in attack mode. As a starter, you know, I was battling some issues, you know, health wise. But now I feel good and I'm ready to do what was needed. And when I came off the DL and they said, you know, come to the bullpen to make our team better, I was all for it. Like I said before, I think, you know, the city of Toronto has been waiting for this for a long time, and not only them, the whole country. So it's just an exciting time for this team and this organization, and it's been a blast.
Hey, Aaron, what is it like? What is it like to be in first place? You know, you're tied for first place, but you're in first place at this time of the year. You know, you as you say, the whole city, the whole country is wrapped up in pennant fever. What's that like? How different is it coming to the ballpark now than, let's say, you know, last August or last September?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so much different. I mean, I can't remember the last time a Blue Jays team has been in a race like this late in the season. It's just been awesome. I mean, the guys feel it. Everybody can feel it in there. We know what's at stake. We know how good we are. And I think guys just get to the ballpark and understand what they need to do to win a game. And it's more of a business and you know, getting their part done and moving on. And it's been a lot of fun.
Aaron, let me ask, what does, we talk a lot about David Price and what he brings for the starters and the confidence he brings, but what does he add to a bullpen? Because, you know, he pitched the first game in Anaheim and he basically saved the bullpen. What's the mentality when he pitches for you guys? Is it just, hey, David's pitching, so we're probably not going to get to pitch today, or is it, let's go, fired up? Is that the mentality? Is it a lot of fun to watch a guy like that pitch?
Oh my, absolutely. And you said it to a T. When he gets on the mound, it's like, it's just sit back and watch. I mean, if we know someone's going to get in the game, it might be in the eighth or ninth inning, because that's how long he's going to go. Rarely do you ever see, you know, anybody getting hot in the fifth or sixth inning. That's just David Price being David Price. But to have him in a staff is unbelievable, to save a bullpen every fifth day, because you know this guy's going to go out and and go eight to nine innings is a huge thing for a team, especially coming down the stretch when, you know, maybe the bullpen might get overused at times depending on situations of the game and late in the year when guys have, you know, already have 50, 60 appearances under their belt.
Now, you're still at a relatively young age of your career, but one thing you can do is you know what it's like to be a closer late in the season. You did that last year. As a young guy, now you've got a rookie closing behind you in Roberto Osuna. Have you been able to talk to Roberto at all about what that's about? Maybe give him, you know, some tips, or at least just talk to him a little bit about the whole philosophy of closing. And, or, you know, maybe, Aaron, maybe Roberto looks like a guy who's been there before. So I don't know, maybe he's good giving you advice.
Yeah, no, honestly, I don't think I had to give this guy advice, you know, much of his entire career. You know, I've been around this kid since he's been 16 years old, and he's just so advanced for his age at every level. So for him to come up here and do what he's doing, it's not a surprise to me or a lot of the guys here in the organization. But I don't think I needed to really, you know, give him any sort of tips on what to do. This guy is pretty good at what he does, and we definitely feed off each other. You know, we ask each other questions all the time, and what he saw in a certain at bat or a certain swing and stuff like that. But you know, he's good at what he does. I don't think he needs help or any tips from a guy like me.
You're getting ready to play the Texas Rangers. We talked about this a little bit. The Rangers are a team that likes to put, they like to use speed. They like to put pressure on opposing teams. And this, you know, one of the things that I said to Kevin, I noticed in that Los Angeles series, it just kind of reinforced how good your defense is. You've already talked about how it can change the mindset of a pitcher, knowing that you've got good defense behind you. But, you know, do you watch what a guy like Troy Tulowitzki does and just kind of realize how important it is to have that guy kind of in the middle of the field, the guy who is the quarterback, the defensive quarterback of the team?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way this guy goes about his business, he's one of the best in the game for a reason. Just a true professional. Obviously, his ability on the baseball field is pretty dang good. But yeah, to have a guy come in like that with his caliber that can play defense the way he can and can hit the way he can is just a huge upgrade. And I don't want to take anything away from Reyes because he did a wonderful job while he's here. But just knowing that you got a guy like him behind you is pretty good.
Before he lets you scoot, how many texts are you getting a day from Stroman?
Oh, 10 plus.
He's pretty serious about coming back here and contributing in September, isn't he?
Yeah, his mindset is to be back and help this team get to where they're trying to go. And the videos and all the stuff I've seen, he looks pretty good. So it'll be an interesting few weeks here to see what the organization does and to see how he bounces back after he gets into some game situations. So I think everybody on the team's excited. You know, he's been hitting everybody up, letting them know that he's on his way. So we'll see how things go.
Aaron, I'm going to let you run. Rest up for tonight. Thank you so much for doing this, and go get him.
Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
It's Aaron Sanchez of the Toronto Blue Jays, and it'll probably be about 1,050 degrees tonight in Texas.
Well, he said it was. When I was 23, I never got hot, Jeff. I'm just saying. I never did. Here in the show, he's running. I saw him out in Anaheim. He was running before the game, playing the little frisbee thing, running all over the place. He looked they look like they're having a lot of fun. And you say fun. Oh, you're having fun. You should have fun. Well, when you're losing, it's no fun. Yeah. When you're winning, you know, you hear voices like that. You hear guys talk like that. You see guys doing things, having fun. And that's when they're at their best, is when they're having fun. And it's not really a worry. I'm going to go out and be my best, be who I am. It's showing.
I asked Zahn this yesterday, and Zahn said that I can stop worrying about Roberto Osuna's closer and just kind of live with it. You were around that team for 3 days now.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty obvious that this is really an uncommon kid, isn't it?
Well, I don't think he's a kid anymore. Yeah. That's the way that me and Jerry sort of attacked that conversation was, he's not a kid. He doesn't look like a kid. When a guy, this is the best I can say it, when you see a guy that young, see a guy at the plate take a really good swing off a fastball, the next pitch is a fastball.
Mm-hmm.
That kid's graduated. He's no longer a kid anymore, and that's what you're seeing. You see, he expects to dominate, and that's the only way it should be, regardless of the age. And I couldn't do it when I was that age. Most, I will say, human beings can't do it at that age, regardless of how you want to say it. It's upbringing, where he played in the Mexican League, whatever it was, it worked, and it is dynamite. That's the easiest way to put it.
So we will have baseball tonight. The Jays had yesterday off. They get back at it tonight. Mark Burley against Derek Holland. Our radio pregame will be live at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Blue Jay Central live at 7:30 on Sportsnet East, Ontario, West, and Pacific. First pitch just after 8 p.m. on Sportsnet 590. The Fan and Sportsnet East, Ontario, West, and Pacific. And then right after the game, Mike Wilner will take your calls on the Blue Jays talk. The Jays and Yankees tied for first place, both of them, 69-55 going into tonight's game. The Yankees will play the Houston Astros, Dallas Keuchel on the mound for the Astros. So you want to keep one eye in one game, the other eye on the Jays right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan or on Sportsnet. If you want to keep your eye on the radio, you can. I quite often do that.
All three of them.
Absolutely.
Well, you said two eyes. I don't know how you do that, but two eyes and an ear on the radio.
Anyhow, for Kevin Barker, two eyes and an ear.
Yeah, you know. I'm back.
Yeah. Oh boy, are you ever back. For Kevin Barker and Aaron Sanchez, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us in Baseball Central. Enjoy the baseball. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.